In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Let's continue our commentaries on St. James' Epistle. We are on the last chapter, chapter 5, and we were commenting on the sacrament of anointing the sick, and also the sacrament of priesthood, and the sacrament of confession, and they were all mentioned in this paragraph. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the priest of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. So that's, you know, kind of the order, the ritual, the act of the sacrament. And the prayer of the faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. So it's not only, you know, the faith, but also the grace. The hand of God give healing. And the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sin, he will be forgiven. So when he mentioned the forgiveness, he mentioned it related to confession. So confess your trespasses to one another. One another may be understood in the way that you, the sick, confess to the priest who coming to you to pray for your sickness and for your forgiveness also. So, you know, it's not only just confess what you had done wrong towards somebody, so you go to him telling him, I'm sorry. It's not as that meaning. It's more deeper than this, because he was mentioning the group of priests visiting the sick, and now the people, the sick people, who are confessing their sins before the priests. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Some people do not believe in priesthood, actually. And these people also do not believe in all sacraments, because any sacrament is related to the priesthood. But you know, the priests have more power in prayer. That's a gift of God. And the priesthood in the New Testament, it's, you know, the work of Christ through some chosen people. So we are not focusing on the priest himself, his name, his character, but Christ in him. So the power of priesthood in the New Testament is related to the power of Christ, the authority of Christ himself. He is the supreme priest. He is our archipriest. So he is the one who is telling us what to do. He is blessing people through our hands, who is, you know, healing people with his grace. So we are his tools to give the grace to people. Also, the idea of confession is there in the Bible. And you know, to confess in the old language may have many meanings. Maybe it's related sometimes to confess mean that you recall the good gifts given by God to you. You tell God, thank you for this and that. So you are admitting that you got many gifts from God. This is kind of confessing. Confessing here is the idea, the confess of the gratitude or the gifts from God. Another meaning, to confess your faith, to speak out loud what do you believe in. And this is also another meaning of the word confession in the old language. But you know, he's now about the confession which is telling sin. And telling sin, that's the commonest word of used for confession. And also, when you repent, you have to confess, first of all, before yourself, to admit that you had done wrong. You are a sinner. Because some people, they do not believe in themselves that they are sinners. So they can never confess, because they did not even confess before their heart that they had done wrong. And also, after confessing before your conscience, you have to confess in prayer. You pray and telling God, God, I'm a sinner. I'm sorry for this. I hurt you. I broke your commandment. So this is the second step, which is repentance. Repentance without prayer is never a real repentance. The third step, which is confession before the man of God, the church, the priest. So repentance, you know, have to go these three steps. You see what's wrong in your life and you admit that you broke the commandments. Then you go for praying and you say, sorry God, I need your mercy, please have mercy upon me. And last step is to go to the church telling your father of confession, I had done this and that. Tell me what exactly to do so I never go back to this sin and absolve me, give me the absolution. So he's telling us, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Definitely also we have to say that if you hurt somebody, you have to go to this one saying sorry in order to complete your repentance and to be honest. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And this is, you know, the basics of the idea of intercession. Because some people are much more righteous than others. So these people, their prayer is stronger. We believe in their prayers because these people are people of God. Their life is much purer than our life. So we believe in their prayers, in their intercession. So here is saying the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And it goes also for the people who left this earth, the saints who are now in the paradise of heaven. These people are living, still living. We never think of those who left our land that they died. No, there is no death for your people, God. It's just, you know, they traveled there. So because they are living there and they are in the presence of God all the time, we believe in their intercession. They were righteous. They are still righteous people. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. He is giving us another example of how the prayer of a righteous man is very much effective. So, telling the story of Elijah. Was a man with a nature like ours. He was not an angel. He was a man. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. Look how big this miracle. This man, just a man, he could change the weather, he could change the rules of the earth. He had the power through his prayer to change everything. So that's the power of prayer, because he was righteous. He was not a perfect man because he was as a man. He had done some mistakes. When you study the story of Elijah, one day this man was afraid from a woman. And he had some kind of depression, frustration. So he asked God, just take me away from this life. There is no hope in these people. So he was very much down. Though, actually, God gave him a great reward in his last day. He took him alive. And he was, you know, having the usual end of any man on earth because he was very much righteous. So the prayer of a righteous man is effective as seen in the life of Elijah. He could, you know, prevent the raining for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruits. So with his prayer, there was no rain for some time, and there is heavy raining another time, just because of this man who prayed to God. I want to tell you one important point. When Elijah prayed the first time to prevent raining, it happened in a minute. Just he prayed for this, he ordered the clouds to stop, the heaven to, you know, prevent water. But after 3 years and 6 months, he promised Ahab, the king of that day, that raining will come now, because many people repented. And he went to the mountain and he prayed, he kneeled down, he worshipped God, asking God, please let the rain come now, because your people now knew that you are the real God. But there was no raining. He prayed again and again and again. It was like 7 times worshipping God, and he did not lose heart. He was dead sure that God is listening and he is doing his will. So, you know, being righteous, meaning that you are a strong heart in faith. He never doubted that God is with him. God is listening. Because sometimes when we pray and there is no reply, no quick response, we doubt. Is God listening? Is he the same with us? Does he care? Do we do any wrong because he is not there for us now? You shouldn't doubt. Just pray with no doubts. Make sure that God is love, God is the same, God is listening, he will do the best in the best time. So even with the example given for Elijah, this man, the righteous man, the effective prayer of Elijah was, you know, very quick in response the first time, but was very late in the second time. But still, his righteous prayer was always accepted. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sin. So he is ending the letter with the call for everyone to serve. And service is not just doing good actions with the poor or the sick. The most important service is to catch the souls for the kingdom of heaven, to save them. Because most of the people are just walking towards hell, the bad ending. So if you think this way, if you feel God's heart, if you know his will, he will for the salvation of everyone. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, some people may wander away from the truth, deviation. And many people are affected by wrong teachings, by the lies of devil, by the ideas given of the philosopher of this age. So wandering from the truth, it's our duty as church people to save these people, to run after them, to tell them the real truth, because we are saving their souls forever. If anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, so turning him back, this is the spiritual service done by priests, by servants, by church leaders, because that's the most important service. Let him know that he who turns the sinner from the error of his way will save a soul. So do not focus on the type of error, how much they sinned, how long they went away from the church. The most important point, how to save them. Because some people may focus on the sin itself, on the darkness of these people. No, we are people savers. We are sharing our Savior, the mission of saving the whole world. So please focus. You need not to diagnose the sin and dig deeply into the bad things people are doing. All what you have to care for, how to save these people, how to turn them back from the error they had, from the deviation done. If anyone among you wanders from the truth, also this means that anyone can have this problem. Any church member can be deviated one day. So we have to take care of us and others. We have to focus, because, you know, devil is always nearby and he's trying to take all people. So nobody is, you know, immune from this. We have all of us to see this clearly, and we have to take care of the truth given to the church. and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul. So saving a soul is very much precious, much more precious than saving a physical body. If a good doctor could save a physical body, one's life, we all appreciate his deed and look up to him because this man could save such a person. But when you think of it, you know, he added some few years to his life. But you, being a spiritual servant, you are not adding few years to anyone's life. You are saving his soul forever. You are adding millions of years. You are saving his eternity. So your work is much, much more important than any work on earth. So when you see this service, when you look up to the service, you will put it like a first priority in your life. You will see people around with the eyes of Christ. You care for their salvation. You are anxious about them. You cannot see the devil just taking people his way, and you are just focusing on yourself. What do you like? What do you want to do? What do you want to say? Your family, your future, that's not Christianity. We should all of us work in this. So let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sin. Because, you know, the multitude of sin will be covered only by the redemption of the Lord, by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, you are taking this blood of Christ to cover the multitude of sins. If this guy believe in Christ and repent and be baptized, started to be a member in the church, starting a new life, now you covered all the sins happened before. You gave him eternal life with the grace of God. You were co-servant in this because God is the Savior, but you had a role. You shared God in saving people. You shared in covering the multitude of sins. And also even your sins. As a servant, we are all sinners. Even our sins are covered because of this service. Because we are sharing Christ, his aim, his goal, his mission. Even our, you know, weaknesses in life, our sins, with repentance, definitely we repent. And we care for what God cares for. We share him this. So that's the end of the epistle of St. James. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Glory to God. Amen.